Professional theater in the United States was a road business years before any American city could support even a semi-professional residential theatrical company on a permanent basis. Professional theater introduced itself to the colonies in the mid-1700s through English companies that toured or immigrated permanently, playing road adaptations of Shakespeare plays, melodramas, and comedy hits from the London stage. The English company of Walter Murray, generally viewed as the first professional company to perform in America, made its debut in Philadelphia in 1749. Lewis Hallam's famous London Company of Comedians followed shortly thereafter, establishing itself as the first major entrepreneurial professional theater company in the colonies. Others followed thereafter. The paucity of theater venues in the 18th century meant that traveling companies often performed in pubs, open town squares, and courthouses. The 18th century touring strategy was not appreciatively different from modern touring strategies. Extended stays in the growing colonial population centers of New York, Boston, Philadelphia, or Williamsburg until business dried up or local licenses expired, and, when available, the occasional short-term booking or one-night appearance in smaller communities along the way. These short stopovers added to revenues, eased the rigors of extended travel, and instilled a nascent appetite for live theater in small, relatively isolated rural American communities. In the 1750s, David Douglas, an enterprising British actor and producer in Hallam's company, took it upon himself to oversee construction of theater venues in some of the locales where his troupe performed. Douglas was also a skilled negotiator of local political sensibilities and was a major force in bringing live theater to communities where Puritan resistance to entertainment, and theater in particular, were especially pronounced. The Revolutionary War curtailed most theatrical activity in the colonies. However, the period immediately following the ratification of the Constitution was marked by a population explosion through the new states, theater construction in numerous cities and towns, and an enlarged demand for live entertainment across the new country. Circuses, acrobats, variety shows, and star music hall singers all found their way into the turn-of-the-century touring business along with theater troupes. The first half of the 19th century brought forth newspaper theater criticism, whose earliest practitioners included William Coleman, writing for the New York Evening Post, and Washington Irving, writing under the pseudonym Jonathan Oldstyle in New York's Morning Chronicles. Celebrity status made it easier for top-flight actors to tour as individuals rather than as members of a full touring production company. Touring companies competed, often unsuccessfully, with stars who traveled alone or with one or two assistant actors, filling in other parts with local performers. Edwin Forrest toured successfully as a leading man in the South and Midwest while still in his teens, eventually playing major roles to great acclaim in New York, Philadelphia, and London by the time he was 30 years old. Edwin Booth, a highly regarded tragedian, was adored as an actor until his brother, also an actor, assassinated Abraham Lincoln in 1865. Edwin Booth toured aggressively in the 1870s and 1880s to reestablish his reputation and recoup financial losses he incurred in various family enterprises. And we know from this wonderful book by Nancy MacDonald that it was December 29th, 1886, that Edwin Booth made an appearance as Hamlet at the Academy of Music in Scranton, and the ticket was $2 each. Still, despite the rate, The theater could have sold twice the capacity of the house, for it was Booth's most famous character, hailed by critics as the finest Hamlet of the century. We learned the history from Thomas Greenfield, an encyclopedia of theater and American culture, and just that, if you can play Scranton by Nancy MacDonald. Well, the tradition of playing in Scranton continues to this day. We know that it was the wonderful couple of Benno and Gertrude Levy who established the Broadway Theater of Northeastern Pennsylvania in 1959, and their love for theater stirred their desire to bring Broadway to Scranton. The organization has taken pride in its long-standing relationship with the Scranton Cultural Center, and then 40 years later, in 1999, Broadway Theater joined forces with Albert Nasilino, multiple Tony and theatrical company committed to bringing the best of Broadway and family entertainment to New York State and Pennsylvania. NAC Entertainment has producing interests in many Broadway and touring shows. This partnership has enhanced the quality and professionalism of Broadway Theater League, and the season continues. 2025-2026 opened on November 21st with a production of the Tony Award-winning musical Six, and will continue this weekend with the Book of Mormon. We had a chance to speak by phone with Ali Basaliga, manager of social media at NAC Entertainment, about what's in store.
I personally work for NAC Entertainment. So we're based out of Binghamton, New York. We were founded by Albert Nasilino, who is a multiple, just to toot his horn, a multiple Tony Award-winning Broadway producer. And we present in multiple markets in the area. We're in Scranton, and we're also in Erie in Pennsylvania. We're in upstate New York, and we're in Binghamton, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Elmira. So we started partnering with Broadway Theater, I believe, in 1999. Shocker, it's a little before my time. However, ever since then, we have been working to bring the Broadway and Scranton season to Scranton. And touring Broadway is just so important because it's really the gateway into knowing what professional theater could be. You know, in Scranton, we're lucky to be closer to New York City, but still sometimes, you know, paying those fees to go and travel and have the higher ticket prices on Broadway. It's really nice to have the touring Broadway productions right, you know, 10 minutes down the road and for a more affordable price.
And you have a space in Scranton that can accommodate such touring shows, and not every city does.
Absolutely. And we're so lucky to be at the Cultural Center. Now, the venue just had a absolutely beautiful renovation too. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's a $10 million renovation. Everything looks beautiful and was retouched, and really, you know, it's such a historical building and a cultural local gem. So it was really extra exciting starting off this Broadway season at the Cultural Center, because not only do we have the capacity for touring Broadway, but also now it just looks absolutely gorgeous. I could talk about it forever.
And that's so critical, because that's all part of the experience.
Absolutely. It really is, you know, so important to preserve a historical structure like that. And especially, I know the proscenium arch hadn't been viewed for goodness my entire lifetime. So it was so exciting to see that in its original glory.
Community productions and touring shows coexist beautifully, Ali, as we know, because each enriches the community in its own incomparable way.
Absolutely. Well, that's my personal story with Broadway and Scranton specifically. Is I had, you know, seen a high school production or middle school production of some shows, and believe me, as someone who did those, they are so important, and it's even just more exciting. My first show at the Cultural Center, my first Broadway and Scranton show, was Beauty and the Beast on my 13th birthday, and I had never seen anything like that in my life. And it really, I mean, obviously I'm here now talking to you about it. It's clearly stuck with me, and it's always such an honor to be even just a little tiny part of bringing that to the community.
You multiply that experience by hundreds and hundreds of people.
Absolutely. I mean, I could wax poetic about it and you know, we'd never get off the phone. But it really is so special, especially when you see, you know, when we have maybe a more family-oriented show, when you see a family and their young kids come in for the first time and their eyes just like light up seeing, like hearing the voices and seeing the sets and the lights or just being in the building in general, maybe never having been in the theater before. And it's really special to bring that to our community.
It must be an art in itself to put together a season of shows that takes into account what audiences in a given community seem drawn to keep the offerings varied and balanced with a mix of new productions and perhaps true blue favorites. This year is an example of that appealing balance, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty of it. It's season after season. We say it all the time, but there's something for everyone every single season, and it's so exciting.
And the season has begun. You launched the season with 6, but we're on the cusp of the next show for the season. Tell us about this show, and then we'll go into what else is on offer.
Oh, yeah. 6 was an absolute delight to start the season off with. And now, next up, we have The Book of Mormon coming up this weekend, December 19th through 21st. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this one before, but it won the Tony for Best Musical and won 9 Tonys in total. And the New York Times called it the best musical of the century. The Washington Post said it was the kind of evening that restores your faith in musicals. It's one of the funniest things you will ever see on stage. You know, we can't say that about all the shows on our season. The Book of Mormon is still on Broadway, too. So clearly audiences are still eating it up and going to the theater every day to experience it.
People love the title Kinky Boots. Tell us about the premise.
Oh my goodness, Kinky Boots is such a fun show. I honestly didn't know this. It's based on a movie, if you've ever seen that. I hadn't when I first saw seen the musical. But Kinky Boots is a musical. It is set in England. It is about Charlie Price, whose father just passed away and left him this shoe factory. The shoe factory has begun to struggle, and soon he meets a drag performer named Lola, who gives him the genius idea to make heels for drag queens. Make boots that can sustain their weight, their height, and it is how they work together. You know, they think they have nothing in common, and of course, at the end of the day, we all know that they have more in common than they think. They can work together, and it's sweet, it's funny, it's, hate to use the, you already saw the word coming, but fabulous, and it's really just an inspiring, heartwarming show, and it's a bunch of fun. Oh, and on top of it, the music is by Cyndi Lauper, too, and the book is by, my theater nerds will understand, Harvey Fierstein wrote the book to this show, so it's 2 powerhouses, and the creative team as well.
And I don't know, but people just going to see the movie of Kinky Boots, going to see the movie of Chicago, it's a knockout. But if you're in the theater with somebody performing Chicago with the intensity of the story and the brilliance of the music, I can't imagine not wanting to see it in person.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, going from Kinky Boots to Chicago is one incredibly choreographed show to another. I mean, we all know Chicago is the original revival from 1996, which is also still running on Broadway. It is now, at the time of this interview, Broadway's longest running musical. And it has that brilliant choreography, that Bob Fosse style. It, like just like you said, with such precision, this is performed. In experiencing Chicago in person, it's one thing when you are watching the movie or maybe watching a clip on YouTube, but when you see these performers doing it in front of you, your jaw just drops. It's incredible. And also then you'll be singing all that jazz all night.
5, 6, 7, 8.
It depends on your taste.
Really, there is nothing like the power of live theater. Across the footlights, the audience's energy is felt by the performers. The performers are animated by the audience. And it's electric, and we know it's only one time. No matter how many times these touring actors do this work, it's never going to be the same again.
Absolutely. I really could not say it any better myself. The best thing about theater is that theater is a living, breathing thing, is a team effort. And as someone going to the theater, the audience is another character. When you put the show up on its feet, it's all fun and games until, you know, that first invited dress and it just springs off the page to complete and total beautiful life. And it's so, so fun to watch unfold.
Now, we really are going to be engaged in Clue because we have to follow the clues and decide, well, who done it?
Oh, who done it indeed, Erica. So Clue is now out on tour. Like I said before, I work for NAC Entertainment, so we present across the different markets. So I just saw it up at the Landmark Theater in Syracuse maybe a month and a half ago. How fun is this show? So it is a straight play. It is not a musical. It's inspired by the film and, of course, by the game, but it is so airtight. Now, this is only 80 minutes with no intermission. I say that because you will blink and this is over. It is so fast-paced and packed with jokes and incredible comedic timing and delivery. It is so funny, and it really does string you along because you really do not know who done it. But I can guarantee you that the audience will literally be laughing by the last line. You'll be laughing up until the last line included. It is so fun and so quick-witted. I can only imagine the speed read rehearsal that went into Clue for sure.
And then we tie a bow with a classic, that golden age of musical, when it was Oklahoma and Carousel and The Music Man.
Oh, I mean, it would be hard to find someone who does not know or resonate with at least one song from The Music Man. I mean, we have probably all seen it in one medium or another. If you've seen a classic film, if you've seen a production of it on Broadway or on tour in the past, I personally have seen many a high school production of it. And every time, you can't help but get swept away. And it's the simplest, purest form of storytelling. Again, like you said, with that golden age of musicals, you just get swept into another world and you get so connected to these characters. And these songs have lasted decades and decades for a reason, because they just are so revered in musical theater history. And it's because they're so iconic. And like you said, evergreen, and not exactly, not in a bland way at all, but evergreen in the way that it works for every generation and it continues to persist. And you can't help but root for it. And it's almost like you know how it's going to end, but you cannot wait anyway. And you're holding your breath the whole time, and you're so excited to see it unfold and so touched.
And the barber shop.
Every little, and because you're bringing up something like that, like things, details of a musical, like just stick with you. And they're, again, they persist for a reason. I mean, even just the opening number with the patter of it all, how fun. You just really get transported back to that golden age. And it's so exciting.
So let's wrap up and review the season and the website.
So our season continues this weekend with the Book of Mormon, December 19th through 21st. And then we open up 2026 with Kinky Boots, February 13th through 15th. We have Chicago in March 6th through 8th. Clue is April 24th through 26th. And Meredith Wilson's The Music Man is June 12th through 14th. You can get individual tickets starting December 22nd at 10 a.m. in person at the Scranton Cultural Center box office and online at BroadwayandScranton.com. And you can also get 4 show season tickets right now, including those 4 2026 shows, again at the box office and online at BroadwayandScranton.com.
Ali Basaliga, manager of social media at NAC Entertainment, speaking with us about the remainder of the 2025-2026 season of Broadway in Scranton. The Book of Mormon, December 19th through the 21st at the Scranton Cultural Center. Shows are Friday at 7:30 p.m., Saturday a matinee at 2, and an evening performance at 7:30. And then this Sunday, it will be a matinee at 1 and an evening performance at 6:30. That's the Book of Mormon, December 19th through the 21st at the Scranton Cultural Center. And then, of course, we heard following that will be Kinky Boots in February. March will be Chicago. April 29th, it will be Clue. And June 12th, the season will wrap up with The Music Man.
All aboard. Next stop, River City Highway.
The Music Man. And for more information on the web, nacentertainment.com, nacentertainment.com. And tickets are also available in person at the Scranton Cultural Center box office. It's the 2025-2026 season of Broadway in Scranton, and it's continuing with the Book of Mormon, the 19th through the 21st, this weekend, Friday through Sunday. Shows Friday at 7:30, Saturday at 2 and 7:30, and Sunday at 1 and 6:30.